Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
And he covers college football, college basketball for CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ. And Jerry, let's start with college football because that's the season that we are in the midst of. You're a wordsmith. You're a writer. How would you describe the current situation the current situation and the current attitude around college football here where we are in mid-November?
It's a bit chaotic. You know, you don't really know what to expect at any given time. With coronavirus spiking all over the nation again, it makes sense that college football would be impacted by that at a similar level. So last week we had 15 games postponed or canceled. That was a season high. Not quite a season high in terms of the percentage that of the games scheduled, but still pretty close to that. It's Monday night. There are 7 games already postponed or canceled for this week. You know, you've got teams in the Pac-12 that are hoping to make the playoffs. They're getting a couple of games canceled every week. So far, not the teams that we expect to be contenders in Oregon and USC, but, you know, you never know. And when you're already scheduled to play 2 fewer games than everyone else, you know, you can't have your contenders losing games along the way if you want to give the committee enough to look at to possibly put you in a playoff. So, conferences are toeing the line, you know, and the medical protocols are definitely taking precedent. But, you know, on the other hand, they're trying to get as many games in as they can, and especially these conferences that started later so that they can try and get into the college football playoff and some of these bowl games.
So you say the word chaotic, and it's certainly up to the College Football Playoff Committee to find some order in the midst of this chaos. What are the baselines for teams that are to be considered for the playoff itself?
They haven't given us any baselines. So everybody's under consideration until the committee decides otherwise. But they haven't set a minimum number of games or anything like that. At least not yet. They've got their work cut out for them this year, though, because when they're doing their rankings, they have some data that they can work with, strength of schedule, things like relative offensive, defensive numbers, and things like that. None of that applies this year because you have at least 4 conferences that have fully isolated themselves from the rest of college football by playing only conference games, which means that the ways that you can compare these teams statistically to others don't exist because they're playing in a closed system. So the SEC, for example, there are no statistics that allow you to compare SEC teams to teams in other conferences because they're not playing anybody from other conferences. So really the committee just has eye tests this year.
Wow.
And head-to-head results. And, conference championships have always been a factor. So that's about all they have. It's really going to be a beauty contest this year. and that makes it even harder to not only for them to do their job, but for anybody to argue against what they've done because you have no data to back it up. Nobody has data to back it up.
So then, Jerry, you're constantly looking at the rankings, although generally it's based on mathematical formulas, which you've got figured out. But if it's a beauty contest and it's eye test, who belongs in that top 4 right now?
Yeah. Well, right now, it's okay. I mean, it's not too difficult to sort out because you've got 3 major undefeated teams that are doing very well in Alabama, Notre Dame, and Ohio State, and then Clemson. Would probably be the 4th one right now with just the loss to Notre Dame playing shorthanded. It would probably be those 4 at the moment. But, you know, Florida and Texas A&M are right there. The Pac-12 has just started playing. So you've got, you know, Oregon and USC. You've got Wisconsin from the Big Ten, and Indiana surging right now, and they'll get a shot at Ohio State this week. So a long way to go as these teams start to weed each other out a little bit, which normally by mid-November has already happened.
Who are the other teams that you would say have a chance to, I don't want to say weasel their way in there because that sounds bad, have a chance to work their way into the top four?
Yeah, well, there'll be teams in the SEC like Texas A&M and Florida, and especially Florida, because they would get a chance to win the league. A&M doesn't really have any control in that, having already lost to Alabama and being in the same division. But Florida would have a chance to win the SEC. Indiana, Northwestern, Wisconsin, all still undefeated in the Big Ten and chasing Ohio State. The Big 12 probably doesn't have a good candidate this year. And the Pac-12 has got at least a couple. An undefeated champion from the Pac-12 would stand a strong chance because the committee has never left out an undefeated conference champion from one of the major conferences. But, you know, there's a long way to go in the Pac-12 because they've only had 2 weeks worth of games and four of them already canceled. So it's a long way to go for that league.
Whew. Jerry Palm from CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ talking college football. We'll get to some college basketball here in a second. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. What will the bowl season look like?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know that we're going to know for sure. We've already had six bowls canceled.
Altogether, just completely canceled.
Yeah, right. So we're down to, but then one added. So we actually have 37 games currently scheduled for bowl season, and that includes, you know, the six bowls that the committee controls, the two semifinals and the four other games that they control, and then 31 other games. But with the coronavirus spiking in places around the country, some of these other bowls could get canceled. Also, the fact that you could end up with teams that have sub-500 records and that are bowl eligible. Everybody's bowl eligible this year because the NCAA waived those requirements.
Mm.
So you might see some of these games get canceled because, you know, people can't travel, which is a part of, you know, the bowl experience. The Sun Bowl, there was a story today because of the coronavirus spiking especially badly in El Paso, Texas, where that game is played, that they may not be able to play that game this season. They don't have to decide that yet. It doesn't get played till around New Year's Eve. But, you know, there's some of these things, you know, external forces, governmental forces, could end up canceling some of these bowls. So I'll be surprised if all 37 games get played, but I expect most of them will get played.
So if that's the case then, and it's kind of a last second thing where maybe it's not canceled until after we get through the college football season, any idea how they might handle that?
No, I mean, if the bowls don't get played, you know, for example, the Music City Bowl, that's the Big Ten and the SEC. If for some reason that game is canceled, then the team that would have gone there will either go end up, you know, there'll be one less team from each of those leagues playing in the postseason. Not going to be any other arrangements. Whatever games can be played will be played and filled with the teams that can fill them, and then everybody else will just, you know, your season's over.
Okay. So then worst case scenario, because the ones that matter in terms of the playoff are the Sugar Bowl, the Rose Bowl that are both supposed to take place on January 1st, and the national championship from Miami. What happens if those games can't be held when they're scheduled? I mean, the Rose Bowl's in California where they're tightening restrictions even today.
Yeah. So that's a good question. The committee, I know, is already making contingency plans to either – I know they don't want to move the games away from those facilities unless they absolutely have to.
Okay.
But one of the other concerns is what happens if one of the semifinalist teams has a COVID outbreak, you know, a week before the semifinal or a week before the final, after the semifinals. And so they're making contingency plans to possibly push games later in the calendar so that, you know, teams don't have to, I don't know, forfeit or play so shorthanded that they aren't really themselves. So they are making contingency plans to push games later if necessary. But right now they want to play those games where they're scheduled, when they're scheduled, and then they'll deal with contingencies, you know, when the problems arise, which would be, you know, closer to Christmas time.
Okay. Do you think it's worth it for all of this? Do you think it's worth it to have the season, at least what we do have of it?
I think as much normalcy as we can have is worth having, as long as they can do it safely. That's the caveat for everything, as long as they can do it safely.
Let's pivot to college basketball now, if we can. And I'm going to start in essentially the same place I did with college football, Jerry, and just ask you, what is the state of college hoops right now on November 16th or 17th, as we're supposed to be tipping off the season?
We've already had some teams with COVID outbreaks that have shut down their programs for now. They've taken a couple weeks off to get things cleared out. With the season starting November 25th, which is next Wednesday, some of those teams won't be able to start on time, and there'll be game cancellations and disruptions like we're seeing in college football. But as time goes on, college basketball has the advantage of starting their season 2 months later than football. It's an advantage. It's actually both an advantage and a disadvantage. The disadvantage is things are spiking again now, right as their season is starting. So they may end up losing some of November and December for a lot of these teams. But the advantage is there may be a vaccine around the corner for them to preserve the later part of the season with much less disruption than we're seeing now. And the vaccines that are being tested right now are being tested at a very high efficiency rate or efficacy rate. So that's very promising. But obviously it's not over yet and it's not available yet.
Right.
But basketball could benefit from that later in the season, and that obviously would be a help. So we'll see how that goes. But the NCAA today announced that they are not going to have the tournament at all of these various sites like they normally do, and they're going to try and consolidate into one metropolitan area, specifically Indianapolis, where the NCAA is located, in a city that's used to holding events of that scale and has the facilities to do that. So they haven't worked it out with Indianapolis yet, but it's likely that they will. They have a good partnership with the city, of course. So it's the NCAA tournament. All 68 teams, all of those games will likely get played in the Indianapolis area this March and April.
Wow.
And I think that will make for an interesting event. And that would probably be I don't think that they'll go back on that if all of a sudden we've got a vaccine and everything's good. I think that's how it's going to get played this year.
Last year, even before they canceled March Madness, I remember you and I had a conversation and there were schools that were pulling out. I suppose that is also a possibility. So what have you heard about potentially streamlining the tournament and not having nearly as many teams just so it would be easier to manage?
They don't have to make that decision now. So far, only the Ivy League has canceled their entire season. So if that's the case, then what you have is one less automatic bid, one more at-large team, and you go with 68 and see what happens. But if we get into February and March and a lot of programs are pulling their plug on this, then the NCAA will have to adjust at that time. I'm sure they've given that a little bit of thought already. But right now, you know, their plan is to play an NCAA tournament in as controlled an environment as they can manage. It won't be a bubble in the purest sense like the NBA had and the NHL had, but they're going to try and control the environment for the teams that play in the NCAA tournament as best they can. And one of the ways that they can do that is by having everybody in one general area where they can be hands-on.
The tournament, I don't know if people realize how much income it generates for the NCAA, but also for the media presence that covers it, not just the TV networks that carry it. And then you think about the number of businesses that very often see the type of spike in their tourism and just influx for their economy because they're hosting pods. And so it's still disappointing, as much as it would be great to have it, and we're obviously not going to be complaining about that, but it's still disappointing for those cities that were supposed to host sites and now they know that that's likely not going to happen.
Yeah, all of this, you know, the impact on not just college sports and the athletic departments and the money that they have lost, which is, you know, pretty well documented, but for all of these colleges, you know, especially college towns, you know, where Saturday, when everybody shows up for the football game and all the businesses that depend on that, those six or seven Saturdays a year are not getting that in college football. And it's not just devastating to the athletic departments, but it's been devastating to some of the communities that these colleges are in. that depend on that income. So there's a lot of, for lack of a better term, collateral damage in terms of, what's going on in college athletics right now in the locations where these schools are, where the tournaments are held, all of that. A lot of people are suffering in ways that are probably not getting as much coverage.
Does college basketball require that kids be on campus? Because that's something that you're hearing a lot around the country, where schools are going remote learning over the course of, the holidays, and maybe even starting their spring semester later. So is that not even a thing? You don't need to have kids on campus to have basketball?
Yeah, the general student body doesn't have to be on campus. And that's been true through college football, because there are some schools that have been doing strictly remote learning all fall. And yet their football team is on campus and practicing and playing. So, and in some ways that might actually be better for the athletes, because there's less people around to spread the virus to them on campus. But a lot of campuses have, some on campus and some doing remote. My son is at Purdue, and they're doing that. That's what they're doing, some remote and some on campus. And, you manage it as best as you can on campus, and you manage it as best as you can with your team. And the fact that they have the daily testing now possible has really helped with college football. And I'm sure it'll help with college basketball as well, as much as they can be available.
What's this been like to do your job through all of this with so much that you don't know? I mean, it's kind of hard to predict games and matchups when you have no idea who's actually going to be playing or who's going to make it through a season.
Yeah, that's it's been a unique twist that I hope I never have to deal with again. trying to predict what the committee's going to do when they don't have information to work with. Usually I'm predicting what these committees in both sports are going to do based on available data. Well, if the data is not valid this year, then there's a lot more, really eye test involved. And that's a lot more art than it is science. And there's more art than you would think anyway, but yeah, it's going to be a tougher year, but that's okay. We'll just roll with it.
Yes, the fact that we're even talking about sports is, as you say, some sense of normalcy. And beauty contests can be fun every now and then. You can find Jerry on Twitter at JPPalmCBS, and you want to make sure you follow him and then read his columns, because he'll take you through the step-by-step process as we get closer to the rankings and, of course, then on into the postseason for college football. It's always good to catch a couple of minutes with you, Jerry. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks. Anytime.
Jerry Palm with great information, and in fact, offering some information, answers to questions that I didn't know, which is why I was so excited to talk to him.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.